It happens to me once in a while, and somebody will be telling me a story or perhaps a joke, and all of a sudden everybody else will start laughing, and I'm still don't quite understand. Missed out, I guess, on the punchline, and or if I missed the beginning of a movie, it's hard to get caught up. It's hard to understand what's going on in the storyline. Ever happened to you? You know, everybody you hear a story or you hear a joke from somebody, and everybody else starts laughing. They get it, but you're just sort of, I guess I missed out. I misunderstood. I don't get the punchline. It's a phrase that we use, I guess, to describe that would be that we are left in the dark. Huh? We're left in the dark. We don't quite understand. We don't quite get what that person was trying to say. Well, as I got thinking about that, I thought about the world and in Christianity. Do you think there's some people who don't quite get it, who are still in the dark about who Jesus is, about who he really, truly is, that he is the true light of the world? And there is. And as we think about John chapter 1, verse 5, there's the verse that says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." In other words, there's people that just do not comprehend, that do not understand what it means that Jesus is the light of the world. And we can say, well, who could that be? I mean, who doesn't understand what Jesus is, who he is, what that means to us? And we immediately would say, well, it's the non-Christians, right? The non-believers, they're the ones who don't really comprehend. They're the ones who are living in the dark. They're the ones who misunderstand, who don't really get the fact that Jesus is the true light of the world and what that really means. So is it just the non-Christians, though? But who reads the Bible? Do the non-Christians read the Bible? Or is it us as Christians? We read the Bible, and we run across a verse like this. The darkness did not comprehend it. I would venture to say there's people, even in Christianity, who don't really comprehend, who don't really understand what it means that Jesus is the true light of the world, what that entails. Well, as I said, yesterday was the 12th day after Christmas. It was what we call Epiphany. Epiphany is really the revealing that Jesus is the true light to all people. That's what Epiphany is, an enlightening, if you will. It enlightens, it tells people who this Jesus really truly is. Epiphany occurs 12 days after Christmas. And it's usually accompanied by the fact that we hear the wise men coming from the east, and they bring their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they come and worship the Savior Jesus. They come and worship the babe. And we realize then that these aren't Jews, that Jesus is the Savior. He is the true light of the world for all people. And that's why Epiphany sometimes is referred to as the Gentile Christmas, because Christ comes not just for the Jews, not just for God's chosen people, but he comes for all people, Jew, Gentile alike. Jesus has come to be the true light of the world for all people. But so what? Who cares that Jesus is the true light of the world? Does it really affect me, the fact that he's the true light of the world? What does it really mean? What does it mean to us in our lives today as we live in a new year, in the year 2018? Jesus is the true light of the world. Yeah, we can say those wonderful words, but what does it really mean for us today, and more specifically in our lives as we live out our life? Well, we could spend probably 45 minutes to an hour and a half, maybe even 2 hours on what it means that Jesus is the true light of the world. But today, let's only spend, 40? No, let's spend maybe about 15 minutes, okay? Looking at what Jesus is, the true light of the world. And we want to concentrate on three aspects of what that means as Jesus being the true light of the world. First is the fact that we have new life. And then secondly, that we have eternal life. And then thirdly, that we can have a joyful life. We have new life. You have been born again. What? I thought I was in the Lutheran church. What do you mean, born again? How can we be born again? Well, we are, spiritually speaking. Now, we haven't entered into our mother's womb and been born a second time, as Nicodemus was confused when he was told that we are to be born again. But spiritually speaking, we have been newly created. We have been born again. Because Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, he says this. He says, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. We were once dead. We were spiritually not alive. We had no pulse. We were dead. We were as corpses, that word means, dead in our transgressions. We had no life. Who brings us to life? God brings us to life by what Christ has done. So at our baptism, maybe as we were called into God's family, or when we first came to faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're no longer dead. We're no longer dead in our sins. We're no longer people without a pulse, but we're alive. We have new life. You've been born again. You're a child of God. You're His. And Jesus, as the true light of the world, means that we live now in that light of Christ. And we are forgiven for all our sins. And so each and every morning, Martin Luther really made this strong emphasis. He says that each and every morning that we arise, so as you got up this morning, you're a new person. You're forgiven in Christ. You live in the grace of God, and so that sin that you committed is forgiven in Jesus Christ and what He has done for you. Are you still a sinner? Well, yes. And as Luther puts it too, he says we're at the same time a sinner and a saint. Sinner and saint simultaneously. We sin, but yet we're forgiven. We have the righteousness of Jesus and what He's done for us in our life, how He's forgiven all our sins. The cross was enough. It's paid the price for all our sins. And so a new person arises each and every day as we live as God's people, as we live in His grace. He is the one who makes us alive. Okay, so we're a new person. Spiritually speaking, we have a new life. And spiritually speaking, we're going to have eternal life as well. This is not the end of our life, people. Whether you live 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 120 years, it's going to end here on earth. It's not going to last forever. We will not live forever here on earth. But we have eternal life to look forward to. And because Jesus is this true light of the world, He has come breaking through the darkness. We know that we have eternal life with Christ. Jesus came into this darkened world. And I don't think it's by coincidence or it was God who caused darkness to come over the land. As Jesus hung there on the cross, Mark chapter 15, verse 33 says, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, there was darkness over the whole land. Now, darkness in the Bible usually equates to like sin and darkness, evil, death, Satan himself even. And so there was darkness as Jesus hung there on the cross. Satan was applauding because he thought and he knew that Jesus was dying. He thinks he's got victory. Satan thinks he's going to win. And darkness covers the land. But then the glorious light shows forth Sunday morning on that Easter Sunday as Jesus breaks through death and sin for us, as He rises victorious on that Easter Sunday morning, declaring victory over sin and over death and over Satan himself. Yes, over death. So now we know that we have everlasting life through Jesus Christ. You see, that light always wins over darkness. And if you think about it, that's true, isn't it? There cannot be darkness where there is light. That just doesn't work. Where there is light, there's no darkness. Where there's Jesus Christ dwelling, the darkness is gone. The darkness rids itself because light is victorious. And that's the light of Jesus Christ. think it's interesting that when people have a near-death experience and believe, whether you believe it or not, it is interesting that what they usually say is that they come across a great light, the light of God or the light of Christ showing forth. You see, because light shows that Christ is victorious over death and we have everlasting life to look forward to. And in fact, in heaven, in Revelation 22, verse 5, the new heaven, new earth is described there. And John says in 22, verse 5 of his writing in Revelation that there will be no more night, no more darkness, no more sin, no more evil, no more Satan. It's gone in heaven. As we live forever with him in glory, we live in the glorious light of Christ forever. But that's in the future, isn't it? We have everlasting life after we pass through this life. What about this life? Jesus being the true light of the world, what's that have to do with me this afternoon as we go out and we live our lives? Well, having Jesus as the true light of the world means that we can have a joyful life. Means that we can have a joyful life. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to be happy all the time. There's a difference, isn't there? There's a difference between joy and happiness in Christ, because he's the light of the world. We're joyful. We have that peace in our heart. Now, we may not be happy about all the events that occur in our life. We may not be happy at losing a loved one. We may not be happy at losing a job. We may not be happy because we're just having a crappy day. But we can have that joy of Christ in our heart. The joy of knowing Jesus shines forth. The joy of having the Holy Spirit indwell into our hearts. Knowing that he's always with us. He sympathizes with us. He cries when we cry. He is our true Savior and Redeemer. It's interesting in parts of the country, not so much here in the Valley of the Sun because we get so much sunshine, but places like Alaska or Minnesota or North Dakota, things like where there's a lot of darkness and cold. Man, it's been cold in the Midwest and up north these past few weeks. Where the cold and the dark, long days and nights come upon the people there. It often causes sadness. And there's an abbreviation, SAD, seasonal affect disorder. It's depression, it's sadness that comes upon people because of lack of light. Because there's not enough light. And they get depressed. If you lived in the Midwest or maybe up Alaska or somewhere like that, I'm sure you've known people, or maybe it's happened to yourself during these days of December, January, February, when it's cold and the days are short. There can certainly be that depression that sets in, that sadness that sets in. But we have the joy of Christ. And for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the light. You have the light of Christ living in your heart. You don't have to be sad because Jesus indwells in you. The light squelches the darkness. And yes, we may not be happy about everything, but we have the light of Christ. But folks, there's a lot of people out there who are sad. Not just seasonal affect disorder, but there's a lot of people who do not comprehend, who do not know what it means to have Jesus as the true light of the world. And that's truly sad that they don't have the Savior, that they don't comprehend or know or understand that Jesus is their Savior, that light of the world, to squelch the darkness in their life. And so God tells us that we are to be those lights, to reflect the true light of God. As we live out our lives, we are to reflect God's light as we live our lives serving and telling one another about the true light of Christ. So the prophet Isaiah tells us in chapter 60, verse 1, arise, let your light shine. Arise, let your light shine, for Jesus Christ dwells in you. you have a new life, you have eternal life, and you have a joyful life. Amen. Shall we rise and let's pray together. Oh, good and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for that light of the world, for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, we thank you that we have now a new life. We've been born again. We have everlasting life in heaven with you, and we have a joyful life here on earth as we live out our days on this journey. We just ask your blessing to help us be lights to the world, to help us reflect the true light of Christ to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.